Guys, today we start 6 weeks about losing our religion, and if you're religious, that bothered you. So, and if it did, you can shoot me an email and I'll ignore you. That's okay. The psalm begins out that says, your life, a life is bigger, it's bigger than you. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, amen to that. That's the number one thing Jesus told us, is that our lives are, when we give them to Him and accept His free gift of grace and salvation, our lives become no longer about us, but about loving and obeying God and loving and serving other people. That's the essence of being a Christian. But if we're religious, then we believe in God. God has a part. We call ourselves Christians, but we're not being and becoming Christ-like. And so today we start 6 weeks about how to lose our religion. But hold on, if we're Christians, we're religious, right? We're supposed to be like Jesus. Wasn't Jesus religious? No, he wasn't. Matter of fact, the religious people hated Jesus. Matter of fact, they had him arrested. They crucified him. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the very religious people, they didn't like Jesus because he upset the status quo. He talked about God the Father and about grace and grace for all people and forgiving people in a radical way. He loved the wretches. He drank. He ate with sinners. He hung out with hookers. Prostitutes. If you're religious, that bothered you too. He hung out with them to reach them with a message of God and of love and of grace and acceptance and of also repenting and turning from the sin. But he hung out with those people, and the religious people didn't like it one bit. Today we start 6 weeks leading us up into Palm Sunday and Easter about losing our religion, aka the book of Galatians. If you have your Bibles or whatever you use, let's turn to the book of Galatians. Guys, you want to know the number one thing I hear, especially locally where people know that I'm a pastor, is about how religious I am. You know, somebody will like cuss or I'll be out somewhere. Oh, sorry. We know you're really religious. I'm like, I'm not religious at all. I love Jesus Christ. He forgave me. He saved me. He's my Lord and Savior. If you're around me a little bit, you know I'm not very religious. I just love Jesus. I do. And I think that it's time for us to stop being religious, because religion creeps into our faith if we're not careful, and start being more and more disciples. Loving God, loving Jesus more than anything, putting ourselves on the back burner, forgiving people, serving people, radically loving. God's Word warns us and tells us about this, admonishes us in 1 Thessalonians. We are told this. It says, then we should not be like other people who are asleep, but we should be awake and sober. Now, when you think of sober, you think of not being drunk on alcohol. And that's very good, too, to not be drunk as well. But it means something different and that as well. But it means something as well for the Christian, is to be sober and be serious about our faith. Because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when we're going to go. We don't know when those around us are. Life is short. Eternity is forever. In 2 Peter, we're reminded, I'll paraphrase, that because the Lord is coming back as a thief in the night, just like that, we don't know. And we don't know when our time is. Because of that, and everything will pass away, we should be living incredible lives in holy conduct and godliness. We should be very serious about our faith in Jesus Christ and about being Christians. We should be very, very serious. There's no time for religion or playing church. We should wake up to the imminence of the Lord's return, and that if He doesn't come back for another 1,000 years, that eternity's coming for each and every one of you sitting here, and each and every one person in our life and around us and in the world that doesn't know Jesus Christ and hasn't accepted God's free gift. They're in danger of an eternity of hell separated from God. And that should scare us, and that should motivate us. 5:6. Can we go back to that? It tells us to sober up. This isn't talking about being, you know, drunk. Again, we shouldn't be that. But this is talking about being sober. I want you to think about, if you've ever been physically drunk, and I hope you haven't, you're out of it. You're out of it. You don't make good decisions. You don't know what's going on. It affects everything. Just like, if we're not careful Christians, we can be spiritually unsober. We can be out of it spiritually. And it's our natural human condition, if we're not careful, to be out of it spiritually. To not deal with the sin in our life. To say that we're a Christian, but to be religious. Come to church a little, try to please God, but I've got sin in my life. I don't read God's Word. I don't have healthy relationships. I'm not plugged into the church or into the vine, but I'm religious. I do just enough that I can convince myself that God's pleased with me. God is only pleased with us when we're found in Jesus Christ. And we're found in Him when we have surrendered our hearts and lives to Him and when we're living for God and others. What does the Bible say? You know what the Bible says about God? And we're going to talk about God's amazing grace today. You know what the Bible says God wants from us? He wants obedience. He wants us to follow Him. But we do this thing where if we're not careful, we're not serious or sober about what we're doing here. We need to be very serious about our faith. And I think probably the biggest problem, as much as even more for Christians than sin, is the cares of this life choke out our fruitfulness. Verses 7 and 8 say this in 1 Thessalonians. Night's the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by our faith and love, and wearing as our confidence our salvation. Let us who live in the light. See, if you're a Christian and a follower of Jesus, you're called to be living in the light. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean you've got it all together. But it means that you're living in the light, plugged into the church, plugged into the vine, plugged into other believers, and dealing with your sin issues and stuff. That's living in the light. It is not putting on our nice clothes and coming Sunday and saying, I'm good, you're good, and then we go about our business. That's religion. That's religion. Jesus talks about the cares of this world because the cares of this world can choke us out too. I don't have much sin, and I'm a pretty good Christian, and my life's pretty comfortable. Not that God doesn't want us to be comfortable, but Jesus tells us this as well. He says to be careful in Luke 21. He says, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled, and I don't think it's as much carousing and drunkenness for the Christian, and by the worries of this life. The worries of this life, being so caught up in this world, so caught up in our comfort, our money, our job, our sports, our hobbies, our relationships, our culture. Don't let that day catch you unaware. When the night your soul is required of you, the moment that Jesus returns. And I'll give even a third component to that for the Christian of being caught unaware is before you know it, you've backslidden way away from your faith, way away from how you ought to be living as a follower of Jesus. That's what happens more often to us as Christians. And I think it's time we wake up, that we're diligent, that we're sober, that we stop with the religious stuff, and we love and follow Jesus. And for many of you, if you're maybe been Christians a long time, newer Christian, I don't think it matters. It's very easy for us to get caught in this cycle of just doing enough and being religious and not being sold out and on fire and walking with and being on the journey of redemption that Jesus has us on. Hebrews 6:1 tells us this. He says, let's stop going over the basic stuff. Let's go on instead and become mature Christians. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily, although it will mean holiness, it will mean how you live. That doesn't mean that you've just got everything all together. It means that you are loving and serving. You're plugged into your church. You're serving. You're in God's Word. You are have your Christian friends, brothers and sisters, and you guys realize you're on a journey and you're part of going, making disciples and redeeming, seeing people redeemed to their God. To being part of that in our church. We don't need to start over and continue to sin and have to repent all the time. Our faith is in God. We need to move forward in our faith. Because religion will keep us stagnant. If we're religious, we're not going to be growing in grace. We're not going to be growing in our faith. We're not going to be fruitful. Losing our religion. We need to lose our religion. A.K.A. I call it the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is reminding us the difference between religion and a relationship. You guys know the whole world until Jesus came, it was about religion. And Jesus said, no, there has to be a relationship. And for some, even sitting here today, it's not a relationship, it's a religion. For many, it's their denomination. Or it's the traditions. Not that those are by any means a bad thing, but it's all those things that come between them and Jesus. Because God, our Creator, desires a personal relationship with all of us. We're His children. That's what He wants. He wants a relationship with us. But here's our human nature, which started in the garden. We sin, we run, we hide, we make excuses, and then repeat. Guys, it's just what we do when we're not in a relationship with Jesus. But when we do that, then religion can come in and we can feel good enough about ourselves because we do a little better. We try to earn it. Jesus stopped this. He ushered in, stop doing and just be. Religion will tell you to do and not do, and Jesus said done on the cross. He said done. Now, don't think this is some I'm a wacko, sin, live however you want because Jesus finished it. He did. And you're free, but if you love Him, you won't live that way. Let me tell you right now, I'm going to say this. Sure. If you're living in sin, just willfully, you don't love Jesus. Not that you sin. I didn't say if you sin, you don't love Jesus. I didn't say if you struggle with sin, you don't love Jesus. I'm telling you, if you are giving over and living in it and you know it and you're just like, yeah, you don't love Jesus. And that's where religion comes in. Well, but I come to church and I ask for forgiveness 6-8 times a day. That's where religion will tell you, oh, you're all right. You're not. The Bible talks about, shall we put him to death again by continuing to live in sin? Shall we make grace of no effect? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. No, no, no. Jesus wanted us to stop that. Guys, I'm drawn towards religion. And I think that as Christians, as those who believe in God, love Jesus, we are drawn towards religion. I think that's in us. But that's a slippery slope. Now, I have an undergraduate degree in accounting, and I used to be in the banking business, and I love for stuff to fit. All right, like when I go home, like my wallet and my cell phone and my keys, if you've ever been to our house, they all go in this one certain spot. And if they like get moved, I'm like, oh, that's no. I like stuff to fit. So I'm drawn towards religion. So I'm drawn towards this. If I'm good enough, if I do well enough, if I start this, stop this, then God is pleased with me. But if I mess up or I say something I shouldn't have, or I start to feel guilty about something, it can wreck. I can go 2 or 3 days and just be worthless, fruitless. Not good in any area that I should be because, man, I can't believe I said that. Oh, man. Religion. I struggle with that. I'm drawn towards it. Jesus must be first. So Paul is reminding the Galatians this. Okay, so the church is in Galatia. He writes these letters to multiple churches in a place called Galatia. Do we have a map? Maybe you're a guest or you don't know this. These were real people, real churches. This was a real place. Paul went there. This is talked about in the book of Acts. This is all real deal stuff. This is a group of churches that Paul had went and visited, and he writes a letter to them inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's in God's Word. And what we're going to do over these next 6 weeks is we're going to take a passage from each 6 chapters about losing our religion. Now, God writes the letter to these people, and these, of course, are real people, just like you and I. These are people that lived a couple thousand years ago. They didn't have iPads or iPhones or Androids or electricity or a lot of stuff we do, but they were the church. They were just like us, a group of believers, group of seekers, group of people really in love with Jesus, some not sure, some religious. And he writes these letters to them because Paul was very concerned about some stuff that was going on. If you guys don't know who Paul was a Jew, and he was very religious. He was very legalistic. He followed the law. He was a perfect Jew legalistically, and he was going about trying to destroy the church. Jesus had already been raised. He had been seen, done his ministry, went back to heaven, and Paul was a Jew who was trying to destroy the church of Jesus, and Paul was thinking he was pleasing God because he was being very religious. He was a great Jew. And these followers of Jesus, they must be rooted out, taken care of, because they're not following the law, they're not following all these rules, and this is ridiculous. Then Paul meets Jesus on the road to Syria. He meets Jesus and has an encounter, and it changes everything. And if you're here today and you haven't had an encounter with Jesus that has changed everything, not sure you've met him. Or maybe you have, but you've gotten away from that. You need to find him again. So what Paul is doing is he thinks he's pleasing God, but he's doing something horrible. He's killing Christians. He's having them murdered. He's trying to root out the church. And guys, I think that's relevant to some of us today. Some here today, you're just living in sin. It is sin. It is what you want. It's not what God's Word says is best, or you don't even care about what God's Word says because you've numbed and rationalized that it's okay. Maybe you come to church. Maybe you occasionally ask for forgiveness. You do some stuff to where religion makes you think, I'm good. Or on the flip side, there could be some here today, you don't sin. Man, you've got it all together. But yet, because of that, you've lost a heart of mercy and compassion and grace. You've lost the ability to have fun in life. You've lost the ability to put yourself in other people's shoes. Thinking you're pleasing God by being so good, that's not pleasing God either. He's pleased with your obedience, but not with your heart. Well, Paul then met Jesus and everything changed because religion stopped and salvation by the grace of God alone through faith came into play. And guys, that's amen. That's the gospel. We're not religious. We love Jesus. We are saved by God's amazing grace alone. Did I tell you here that I love math? Before I get to that, if you have Galatians in chapter 1, verse 3, the very first word in the letter to the churches is grace. That is the very first word. And any gospel that doesn't start with grace is not the gospel at all. So I love math, and I'm like, here's a great saying. Jesus plus, this is algebra, I guess. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus anything else is nothing. Nothing. It's not the gospel. Now, we have to be careful because this is could be our human nature. You will get this argument of, that's right, amen, amen. Once saved, always saved, so sin I must, sin I will. So people rationalize the sin that they live in their life. Let me tell you again, that is not the evidence of a heart transformed by grace who loves Jesus. When we love Jesus, we want to serve and obey Him. And to choose continual willful sin is just putting Him back up on the cross every day, the Bible says. That is not a heart that loves Jesus. I'm not saying you never sin. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not perfect, but I can't choose to live in sin. That's not loving Jesus. So here they are, the churches in Galatia, Paul writing this letter. In chapter 1, the very first word is grace, and it says this. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not the gospel at all. Now, some translations will say, which is not another. But Paul says, I marvel you're turning away from Jesus so quickly into this other gospel that is not the gospel at all. What was that? I like how Paul does this here. He starts out with grace to you and peace and mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then like a 180, he's like, but I marvel. I'm astonished. He says, I'm getting reports. So here's what was going on. Back then, there was no Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, text messaging. Paul had been to visit all those churches, and he was getting reports, consistent reports that these people were turning back to being religious. You know, they were just being very religious, and it bothered him very much. Now, let me liken it to this. Paul knows this is true, because have you guys ever heard something about someone? You live in a small town, and this is true in big towns too. Anybody here ever not heard gossip? You know how it is. Anybody here ever heard something about someone? In Hoopston, you heard it, yeah? So Paul began to hear these things. Now, when you hear something about someone, have you ever heard something shocking? And you're like, there's just no way. But then another person, and a person you know who's not a gossip, and they're like, yeah, this is really true. You begin to hear it from multiple people. You're like, oh, this must be true. That's what was going on with Paul. He's hearing about the churches turning away from the gospel of grace of Jesus Christ and back to being religious. And it bothers him. So Paul can't call the churches and say, hey, we're going to Skype tonight. We have to talk about this. He can't do that. So Paul writes these letters. And so Paul writes these letters to remind them that without grace, there's no gospel at all. What had happened was, after Paul left the churches, a group had come in called the Judaizers. Now guys, this is a group that was wanting to take them away from Christ. And we've all got this stuff in our life. For some of us, it's relationships, it's social media, it's our own, it's complacency, it's our workplace, it's our culture, it's just our religion. There's so many things that are out there and in here that want to take us away from being in love with and plugged in with Jesus Christ. But in this case, it was the Judaizers, and they were a group who had come in. And in the churches in Galatia, there were Christians who had been, you know, some had been Jews, which means that they were kind of already believed in God. And then there were some who were Gentiles, worldly people. But of course, Jesus came for all. He came to save all. He came to give grace to all. But these Judaizers came in and said, all right, now it's great that you were Christians, but those of you that weren't Jews, you got to get circumcised. You got to pray so many times a day. You have to start and stop eating these things. You have to stop doing this. You have to be in church so many times and pray this certain way. And there's all these lists of things that you can and can't do. And Paul's like, no. He goes, I'm astonished that you have turned so quickly away back to that which is not the gospel at all. And guys, I think that that happens to us so easily. That's no gospel at all. And just to be very generic, I'll put us in two camps. We have the people who, freedom in Jesus, yes, and I'll raise both hands during worship, but I'm going to go and sin all week. That's no gospel at all. That's not being in love with Jesus. Then we have the flip side, which is, I'm just never going to do anything wrong. I'm so by the book. I have no joy. I have no compassion for people. That's no gospel at all. God's grace. Grace, the Bible says it can't be described, and if you're looking at me to adequately describe God's grace, forget it, because I can't. It's too amazing and incomprehensible to even begin to express. It's God's undeserved favor. It's His kindness for you, simply because He loves you. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't be of a certain socioeconomic status or color or race or religion or political party. He doesn't care. He loves you. He loves all of humankind, which is why Jesus came. And it's just that He's kind towards us. The Bible says it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. He didn't get the whip out. He didn't get the whip. He didn't make us. He gives us free will. You may say yes or you may say no. The choice is ours. Amazing grace. The word grace in the Greek, it has a meaning. It kind of means to reach towards, to bless. The God in Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, reached down to all of humanity, all of mankind, to bless them, to make them be able to have a relationship with Him, so that we can pray to Him, so that we can worship, so that we can have fellowship with Him, that we can go to heaven, not hell. And then when Jesus left, He established the church until He comes back. The church is so necessary and so important, because it's the church primarily and God's plan A, to where we reach towards each other. God uses us. God lets His word be spoken, and that we have a call to reach towards lost people. In verse 4, right here in Galatians, remember, it says this is a rescue. It says, who gave Himself for our sins that He might rescue or deliver us according to God's will. It's a rescue. Have you ever seen a rescue? You ever seen someone pulled out of a car? You ever seen someone given CPR, given the Heimlich? Have you ever seen someone rescued from drowning? It's a rescue. And it's so easy for us to lose sight. That's what God did for us and does for us in Jesus Christ. We are drowning, we are choking, we are falling, we are burning, we are done other than grace. And that's a message that should be lived out in the lives of us as believers. How should we love and live and treat other people when we remember that it's just grace? We're not good enough. We're not right enough. We are nothing but His grace. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. If we would just, to make it very simple, if I could tell you two things as a Christian this morning, focus on obeying God, number one, what the Bible says, and two, on showing mercy all the time. That mix of grace and truth in our life should be so evident, because it's such a beautiful thing. For some of you here today, though, I know that eternity seems so far off. We think we're going to live forever. Some today, you're just going through stuff. Life's just hard. You don't even know how you're going to pay the electric bill tomorrow. Life is rough. Life is tough. People are disappointing you. You're just so worried about today. The good news is His grace is sufficient. Put your focus on Jesus. Put your focus on Him, because then no matter how good life's going, you won't get off track. You won't be unthankful. You won't stray off into sin. And when life's rough and tough like it is for some of you today, you'll find your peace and your joy, and you'll find your contentment and your wholeness and your wellness in Him. Not in your spouse, not in your kids, not in your friends, not in your money, not in your job, in Jesus alone. I've got some tough stuff in my life. I've got a lot of blessings. Got the greatest wife in the world, great kids, so many blessings, but they can't satisfy me. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus will. And it goes on here to say, to Him be the glory. Not us, not me, not you, not the church, not anything else. Him. His glory is infinite, just like His grace is infinite. If since you have been a Christian, you have never once sinned, raise your hand. Yeah. Again, I'm not saying, yeah, ha ha, sin. Oh, no. But aren't you thankful His grace is infinite? But His glory is infinite, too. And that's what our lives should be about. Because when you're in love with Jesus, when you're not religious, but you are part of Jesus and He part of you, and He living in your heart and His Spirit living in you, and you're surrendered to Him, you will really care about God's glory. You will just think that's so wonderful, because it's His glory that you want to be infinite, because you've experienced that His grace and His love for you is unending. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you have never experienced that. You might call yourself a Christian. You might have been in church, but you haven't just woken up to the fact He loves you no matter what. He knows you're not okay. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to change you. He wants to redeem you. Us church folk don't have it all together. I got a nice shirt on, but I've still got some stuff. But He loves me, and He's working on me, and He wants to work on you. And let me promise, when He does, it is wonderful. It is so incredible. In verse 6, Paul says, I marvel you're turning away from Him who called you in grace to all this other stuff. And none of that's the gospel. Paul says, I marvel. He's like, oh, what are you doing? Guys, it's no different that how I feel as your pastor, that when I see you living in sin, or when I see you in broken relationships, when I see you continually going to that same well for water that doesn't satisfy, when only Jesus will satisfy and you'll never thirst again. Similarly, it breaks my heart when I see some of you, you don't have any joy. And for some, I think it's because you're so worried about being perfect all the time. You can't be. And for some, you've just lost that joy, or you've lost and don't have that because you're not living your life with, for, surrendered to, in love with Jesus Christ. You're missing it. I'm not saying I'm any better than you. It breaks my heart when I see you living that way. All over that spectrum from living in sin and turning to other things that aren't the gospel at all, to the other spectrum of being so almost like a Pharisee, and everything has to be just right and perfect. You can't keep that up. And let me tell you the struggle that every one of you will face as you grow in Jesus Christ. And most will overcome it. I've overcome it. I've been through this phase. As you grow in grace, there's a spiritual battle for you then to give less grace. You will fight that fight. God wants you to be holy. He wants you to be righteous. He wants you to be right. He wants you to live life His way, which is glorious and safe and secure and full of peace. But you will fight that human temptation to not be able to give grace, mercy, or put yourself in other people's shoes and see that the farther along you get. I have fought that fight. I sometimes fight that fight. That's no gospel at all either. To lose compassion for others, because the Bible says, he who is forgiven little loves little. And you have been, and I have been, forgiven a lot. Dan, we're going to sing in just a moment. I guess just to put it this way, religion will tell you do, and religion will say don't do. Remember that Jesus on the cross said done. Done. And when you love Him, you'll want to please Him. I love my wife. I want to. Love is pleasing. It's wanting to do kind things for. It's wanting to make them happy with you. So if you're living in sin, you're not in love with Jesus at the moment. And He wants you to be. Whatever that sin is, it's bad for you. It can be bad now. It can be bad later. Some, it can be bad. You won't even experience consequences in this life until that moment where eternity comes. But that sin is something He died for you to get rid of. It's easy to abuse grace. What about how we look at others, the world, fellow believers? If you're here today and you need to forgive someone or show compassion or show mercy or grace, it's time to do that. Some of you, maybe you've never accepted God's gift to forgive you, to cleanse you from your sins, to make you brand new, to make you right. That's only in Jesus Christ, no religion. You can't do enough or say enough or pray enough or take communion enough or come to church enough to do anything at all. All you can do is say, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive me of my sins. Would you stand with me and let's pray? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray if there are any here today who don't know you and just need to say yes, they would come and pray as we sing. They're invited. Lord, if there are any of us here today and we all need to pray, we'd humble ourselves and come and pray to you, Heavenly Father. Maybe we would repent of trying to be perfect all the time, or repent of being closed off, or repent of not forgiving someone, or repent of, Lord, letting the cares of this life choke away our passion for you and for the lost. Lord, I pray you would work on our hearts and we'd be real with ourselves as we sing, because it is all about you. Forget religion, Lord Jesus. We love you so much. Amen.